Next step number 709, a prime number for the prime day. Theophany, January 6th, 2022.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Christos Dzanav Yev Haidnetsav. That's how we say it over here. It is Christmas. Christos Dzanav Yev Haidnetsav. That's how you say it. Christ is born and revealed. But I don't go for the translation. I think we should just say it as it is. I mean, after all, the Armenians are the only ones who celebrate Christmas on January 6th. So why not just have an original saying? Christos Dzanav Yev Haidnetsav. You know, I mean, like people say Merry Christmas. I mean, you know, it sounds easy to our ears because we're used to it. But imagine if you're not used to this language, to English, you would say Merry Christmas. Wow, that's kind of an odd way of saying or talking, right? Well, no different. Let's say it. Christos Dzanav Yev Haidnetsav. Now, you're going to say to me, well, wait a minute. We don't have these extra sounds that you're making. Dzanav. What is that? The only way to write it is a TZ or a TS. There's a Z, which is the DZ or the DS. We have all kinds of ways of transliterating. But let's forget that for right now. Listen to me. This is really wild, okay? It's a new year. Let's think outside of the box. Do you think it's time that the English language, more specifically, the English alphabet got an upgrade? Yeah. How about adding some more letters to the English alphabet? You ever thought about that? I mean, Armenians, we started off with 36 letters. We're now at 39 because somewhere along the way they added Yev, which is really a combination of two letters, but they added the O. And the the O, and the what we commonly make is as we refer to as the sound that the letter F makes. So this happened, I think, about 1,000 years ago, maybe about 500 years after the alphabet was created. Why did they add O and F? Well, common theory is that we needed a way of pronouncing Fresno. Or writing Fresno. But Fresno wasn't around back then. That's a joke, by the way. Or because Armenians have a tendency to say, oof, oof, my head is hurting, oof. How are you going to write that down, oof? No. We're being silly there. It's the beginning of the year. We can be a little bit silly, right? O and F were added because of all the foreign languages that we had to adapt to. And you will find that, you know, the O and the F sounds come in handy when you're writing or you're talking to people in different countries. Why not do the same for the English language? And I'm not only talking about expanding it for the Armenian language, but you think about all the guttural sounds in different Arabic or in Hebrew. You talk about the different sounds in Chinese and Japanese, in Korean, the Asian countries, in Indian. You think about all the different. Now, what's interesting in Hawaii, you know, it's less of the sounds. You have less sounds. But whatever the case, is it time for us to add a few more letters so that using the English language, instead of writing a DZ, we can have a specific letter that is pronounced Z. Z. Christos Dzanav. Christ, Christos, Tsunov, is born. Well, maybe it's time to think outside of the box. Maybe it's time for us to say we're ready for an uplift, especially because we're living in a world where we are so interconnected with one another, where language starts melding into each other. So people are using different terms, different ways of communicating. I mean, think about it. Right now, language is at light speed, right? It's electronic. That's how you communicate. People now communicate with texting, SMS. They're on WhatsApp. They're on social media and quick. I mean, I have a friend in Armenia. When I need to talk, it's immediate. You know, this is going to sound weird to anybody who is not of age. But there was a time where to call cross town was considered a toll call. In other words, your phone company would charge you a flat rate for making calls. Like maybe you'd get like, you know, 500 minutes that you'd get to talk to. But if you went outside of the area, and the area was not international, we're talking across town, these would be toll calls in different states, different regions of your country, toll calls, and you'd have to pay for them. International, forget it. You'd have to call and you'd have to request a line. I mean, we're talking about 1977. What is that? 40 years ago that I remember in my memory. No, I'll even make it even better. 1980s, I remember doing this. Calling, making a call, international call. You'd have to call an international operator who would then find a line. And, you know, in my head, I would always think like, oh, is there like a physical line? Well, there must have been. There was something. They needed to find a line. They call you back and then you talk. None of that today, right? Everything is instantaneous, quick, and without a cost. Right now, I can call Armenia. I could call anywhere I want using, you know, WhatsApp, using Messenger, using an assortment of different platforms. There's so many of them, right? And you get on there. And some of them are now forgotten about. Who remembers Skype? I mean, that was pretty big. Skype was the way that we'd communicate. Now, I hardly hear about Skype. I know it's still out there. I know it's still around. But there's so many different ways. In fact, right now, Messenger, to me, just is like remarkable. The quality of the sound. Pictures sometimes. Sometimes if the internet connection's good, pictures. And we're able to communicate with one another. And we're communicating with a hybrid language. Hybrid in the sense that it's not pure English, it's not pure Armenian, it's not pure Spanish, not pure Japanese. We are using different kinds of words. Russian, you know, we're using different words and making and adapting them, even though, let's say, in a specific language you might have, for instance, I'll talk out of my own experience, out of the Armenian language, right? You have the word for culture, mshaguit. Mshaguit, it actually literally means culture, to cultivate, mshagel. It comes from that, mshaguit, culture. And instead of using a word like that, you will hear people say kultura, kultur, culture. Now that one they've cleaned it up, but there's words like sovaragan. Sovaragan means the usual. Now very easily they will say normale. Is it normal? I mean, think about it, right? These are just expressions. And it shows that we are living in a world where language becomes a means not only of communications, but of identity. So that when you're saying something, you become part of the identity of another person, essentially walking in their shoes. Now, what I'm proposing is like, hey, let's add to our collection of letters. We use the English language. It is if not the most used language, it is definitely considered an international language. In other words, people in different countries learn this language to be able to communicate on an international market or an international forum, right? English. Is it time for us to add some letters so that there is a specific letter to make a specific sound? We have the sound in Armenian. Khavar. It's a cool sound, and it differs from the sound. For instance, ghargel. Now, what they're doing now is they're using English letters, and they'll do maybe a KH. It's actually KH's, but they're using it to describe H. They'll use a GH to describe R. But how do you get a GH to make a R sound? Well, you have to identify it. You know it. Somewhere along the way, somebody said, this is how you will transliterate it. As opposed to, for instance, if we had a unique letter that makes that sound. And when you look at a language like Armenian, which has 39 letters in it, and you say, okay, is it time for English to go beyond the 26? I know there's phonetic alphabet, and that has all kinds of different things, but it's not the standard. What I'm talking about is having a standard alphabet that incorporates these new letters. I know. Beyond the scope of what we talk about. But it's something to think about as we enter into 2022. Because for me, every new year is an opportunity for us to evaluate where we are in the past, but also to set a direction for where we're going. And if we do nothing else here on the next step, it's built into our name. It's we are talking about that next step. It's not about the right now only. Yeah, it's beautiful, but are you willing to take the next step? Are you willing to go the next step? What is that next step? And this isn't to give you cause for worry, anxiety, to build on the already anxious state that we find ourselves in, but is to contemplate purpose, meaning in our lives. You think about young people. What do? They are brought into this world and they are given a direction. Like it or not, they're given a direction. And sometimes that direction isn't even, for most people, they'll say, well, that's not a direction. But even that, the lack of a direction is a direction because it moves them in certain ways. In other words, that next step is inevitable. And so as we are charting the courses for next steps, it's important for us, especially at a beautiful time that nature itself gives us, the changing of the clock, the changing of the calendar, for us to look and evaluate where we were, but where are we going? Where are we headed? We've started 2022 with a fear in our head, fear of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Yes, built into that name is the number 19. It's been around now 2 years. It's been around since the end of 2019. Here we are, 2022. Which makes me, it begs the question, why aren't we calling this COVID-22? But for some reason, we're calling it the Omicron variant of COVID-19. But there's a question for you. Why isn't it not COVID-22? I don't know. Somebody has made these standards and we live by those standards. And all I'm saying is that if we're interested in communicating, let's get with the program and do the standards for all of us. All this to say where we started off today, Christos Zanaviev Haidnetsov, Christ is born and revealed. And when we get back after the song of the day, I'm going to tell you how that is important in our lives today. In 2022, because we started off this morning with a beautiful, beautiful service that we did. It was a requiem for Gabriel and KDJ. I want to share that with you and talk a little bit more about where we're going in 2022. In other words, where the next step is. We play a song of the day every week. Song of the week, I guess, right? We play it every week, and it is a selection to give us a little bit of time to think about things, where we are, what we're not. And this song, oh, it's a favorite of mine. Kind of going to play it at the beginning of the year as we look back on the year past. It is by Mary Hopkin, and I have a niece who plays guitar. And every time she'd come over to our house and we'd have an opportunity to be with family and friends, we'd sit around the piano and she would love singing.
Days. Da, da, da. Doing Those Were the Days. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that fun? I think there is some Russian element to it, and I want to believe that it was. I have heard it in Russian. I know I've heard it in Spanish, and I can't remember what the Russian connection is with this one, but it is a beautiful tune, which I love, and it's a catchy tune. Like I said, we used to sit around the piano and play it, and most especially I remember my niece whenever we played this, because she would get such a kick out of it. You know, niece, generational difference? Nah, not at all. Not when we played this kind of music, beautiful music. Mary Hopkins, she published this, or she produced this on the Apple label. And I remember back in 1968 when this came out, the Beatles had just formed Apple Corp. And Mary Hopkins was one of the few people that was on that label, on the Beatle label. And I don't know what that connection is, except that I think I've heard that Paul McCartney had brought her on and had discovered her or had brought her on. Beautiful, beautiful voice. I'll have a link on today's show notes so you can check out not only this song, but all of her wonderful music.
Back to the second portion of today's show. Now, we started off talking about Christos Navevajnetsov, and we went into this tangent talking about the importance of communications. And, you know, when you think about it, it's not really that much of a tangent, because that's what Christ is born and revealed is all about, is for us to be able to understand God's love, is to understand our humanity for one another. This morning, we did a requiem service, and I was very, very pleased that we were able to do this, and I thank Archbishop Hovnon for giving us this opportunity. You know, some very, very close friends of mine, Gabriel and Katie J. Stowering, succumbed to a horrific accident just a few months ago. And this was a couple that had given their lives to all kinds of humanitarian causes, including in Darfur, when people weren't noticing Darfur. And at that time, I had just met him because I was going to rallies and we were putting down the groundwork. I was putting the groundwork for In His Shoes and he was doing the groundwork for his group, which was called Stop Genocide Now, and it evolved into I Activism or I Act. And we cultivated a beautiful friendship which lasted until their passing. And I want to believe that that friendship still continues. And that's why today at the cathedral, at the St. Leon Armenian Cathedral in Burbank, we did a requiem service, what's traditionally in Armenian called Hoke Hankist, and asked for the rest for their souls. But in so doing, it also gave us an opportunity to talk about us. Because this is why I feel like about funerals, and I know I've shared this with you before, but it's important to say it, especially at times like this. A lot of times you go to a funeral, you go to an event or to remember somebody, a memorial. Those people are gone. It's over. Their lives are over. You're not going for them. You're going for yourself. you're going to take a bit of them and carry them through. You know, when Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single seed. But by dying, it produces much harvest. Think about that for a moment. A little simple exercise in botany, right? The seed has to die in the earth, and then when it does die, it produces a new plant, and that plant brings out its fruit, and that fruit eventually becomes the seeds for the next generation. So too with a productive life. This is why so many times Jesus is talking about us producing. It's important that we produce. I mean, think about the story of the talents, right? You have talents that God has given you. You cannot hide them in your pocket. He condemns the person who does that. Instead, he says, take those talents and use them. Use them. Don't abuse them, but use them for the benefit of others, for the benefit of yourself, for the benefit of glorifying God, which means for the benefit of this world, right? Very, very simple metaphors that he used. And when you go to a funeral, you know, you're not going there because you're going to alter something in that person. I mean, sometimes people get that impression that when we pray for the dead, we're saying, okay, if this guy's like struggling in hell, now because of my prayers, I'll get God to change his mind and yank the guy up and take him up to heaven. And, you know, I guess if somebody was really messed up and you knew he was in hell, you'd probably want to do this. But here's a different way of understanding all this, because it has nothing to do with that, about us praying to get God to change his mind. It's about us acknowledging, and this is what's important about Hokeonkis, funerals, requiem services. It's about us acknowledging the reality of life. That life comes into this world and it ends from this world. The physical life ends. Let's acknowledge that. That's what these services do. In acknowledging that, we also see that that life has been spent, has meaning today beyond that physical existence. Why? Because like the grain of wheat, it has fallen into the earth and died. Now that falling into the earth is not obviously the physical body, right? It's not the physical body. We're talking about the soul, the spirit. The spirit which was inhabiting that physical body came and touched you, came and gave you life, came and shared love with you. Now that doesn't die. That cannot die. And so when you go to a funeral, when you go to a requiem service, what you're doing is you are celebrating that life by saying that, yes, that seed has died, but I'm picking it up. I'm watering it. I'm keeping it in my heart, and it will flower. It will produce new harvest. It will produce many new wheat kernels, which in turn will go through the same process. And you know what? This simple story that Jesus gave as a simple metaphor has been adapted into all kinds of stories throughout. I mean, there was a movie just a few years ago. It was a cartoon, The Lion King. That's what it was, The Lion King. Remember that? I mean, at the end, he's the king of the beasts. But even the king of the beasts ends up dying and becomes, you know, I hate to say it this way, worm food. But that's part of the cycle. That's the cycle, and it's the energy, it's the beauty of life. And so this morning we were together at the cathedral, and we offered prayers. Yes, for them, Gabriel and KDJ, but in offering those prayers, those prayers became reminders to us of the beautiful life that they led and how that beautiful life has to inspire us to do the same. You know, in preparing for the service today. I was preparing different thoughts and everything. And I came across this most beautiful quote from William Saroyan in The Time of Your Life. And I know William Saroyan, he's just, for Armenians, he's just known for this one quote that says, you know, go kill the Armenians and then we'll be back up and around. Yeah, we've heard that. But, you know, this man was just brilliant. And if you get a chance, really read William Saroyan. I'm not saying this as an Armenian. I'm saying it as somebody who enjoys literature, who enjoys thought. And I want you to just listen to this sentiment that he has. In the time of your life, live so that in that wondrous time you shall not add to the misery and sorrow of the world, but shall smile to the infinite delight and mystery of it. In the time of your life, live so that in that good time there shall be no ugliness or death for yourself or for any life your life touches. William Saroyan. Isn't that beautiful? What is death? We talk about death as a gateway to a life to come. Now, that's beautiful. Now, I've shared this with you many times. It's really one of the cornerstones of, I think, Armadoxy, of understanding, really, ourselves. Our life here, yes, doesn't end at the grave. Now, can we just accept that? I do. I believe that there is a life after this. Okay. There are people who believe that. There are people who don't. And you know what? You can argue, you can present philosophical arguments and so on and so on. But at the end of the day, most people will go with what they believe is true. There are people who believe life continues. There are people who don't. And instead of us arguing over that, because really, it's none of our business. Even if you believe that there is life after death, which I do, it's none of my business how it's dished out. It's God's. It's God's domain. Life is God's. It's not my business to say, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to hell, that man is going to hell, that man is going to heaven. Those are nice little, you know, comfort things to tell people. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's all God's decision. What we need to do is start respecting the life that we have here. And in this case, when I looked at Gabriel and Katie J's life, what are they? They're giving examples of what life should be. Today, I got choked up when I read the passage from Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talks about, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was a stranger, you visited me. You took me in. You visited me in jail. You visited me in prison. You comforted me. People will say, Lord, when did we see you like that? Because, you know, if you know Jesus is homeless, yeah, obviously, you're going to give him a little shelter. If you know he's hungry, you're going to make him a sandwich, right? If it's Jesus, of course. I mean, if Jesus is naked, definitely you're going to get him some clothes, right? Jesus, when did we see you like this? And Jesus said, when you did it for the least of my brothers, you did it for me. And you think about that for a moment. This is what Gabriel and Katie J did. They did it for the least of the brothers. They were in Darfur. They were in Chad. They were in Armenia, helping people, the least of Christ's brothers, the least of the least, people who life had forgotten about, and they did it, right? Can you imagine if there was somebody like a Gabriel in 1915, somebody who cared about Armenians? Instead of turning their back, Gabriel refused to turn his back. Katie J refused to turn her back. They helped. They did their small little gesture, which had huge repercussions. Because as Saroyan remembers, he says, "There shall be no ugliness or death for yourself or for any life your life touches." Their life touched many. Their life touched many. Okay. If we can get over the idea about arguments about what happens after this life and start talking about what needs to be done in this life, now we understand what the message of this feast day, of today's feast is. Christ is born and revealed. It's not about a future time. It's about right now. It's about right now. Grabbing hold of the moment right now. Christ is born and revealed. A life right now. Because when he was born and revealed, what was the message that came over loud and clear? It was the angel's voice saying, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward one another, toward men." That was it. That's what we were told the purpose of Jesus was. It was given there. Now, I believe in a life after, but that's not the reason why we become Christians. That we leave to God. We become Christians to work it out in this world. When Jesus' family came, his mother, and it says his mother and brothers came, Jesus said, "Who's my mother? Who's my brother?" Who hears the word of God and does it. In other words, you hear what the commandment is, do it. That's when you become a member of the family, which so conveniently for us as Armenians, we know that the IAN suffix to a name means the family of. So in the case of Christian, the family of Christ, Christian. Look how simple it is. Why are we complicating it? And so today, at Gabriel and Katie J's Requiem, we had an opportunity to contemplate, to also put things in perspective, and to understand that a grain of wheat has fallen, and it has died, but it can produce a harvest. It can produce much more wheat, and we are the ones who have to produce it. Not about Gabriel and KDJ anymore. It's about us. And so as we start off this new year, it's really a challenge for each and every one of us, whatever our condition may be, whatever issues we may have, whatever difficulties we may be confronting in our lives, is to look at life as an opportunity to work through these things, but also at the same time, to use each and every one of our unique capabilities, even those hardships that have brought capabilities to us that we may not know about, let's start finding them. That's the discovery process. That's what we do when we look at the past. You say, okay, look at all these things that I've gone through. Have I gained from that? Do I have a new tenacity? Do I have a new determination? Do I have a new focus? Whatever it may be. And find how those can be used. Those can be used for the betterment of all. In the time of your life, live. So that in that good time, there shall be no ugliness or death for yourself or for any life your life touches. Welcome to 2022.
Amen.
We end today's show with a remembrance of a man who was a great man, a man who was huge, last of the giants. This morning we sadly woke up to the news that Sidney Poitier had passed away. And I'm going to be talking more about him in coming weeks today. There wasn't enough time to prepare. As you know, it also ends for me my dream, which was to have him star as me. If we ever did a movie of my life, this is who I'd want. This is who I would have wanted to portray me. He was truly a remarkable, remarkable actor. 1963, he picked up the first Oscar for Best Actor that was given to an African-American man. Today, in remembering him, I wanted to continue on the theme that we've been talking about. And I mentioned that with all the difficulties that we have, with everything that you do have in your life, to be able to stand up and bring the best to the world. In the time of your life, live. And Sidney Poitier did exactly that. This is from his book, which I keep very close to my desk. It's really one of the few books that I truly enjoyed reading from cover to cover. A Spiritual Autobiography, The Measure of a Man, Sidney Poitier. And in there, I'm just going to read, and I told you, next week I hope I can do something a little bit bigger, but it said, my mother used to buy flour sacks and make pants and shirts for my school clothes. Seemingly endless fun was made of me because I wore the emblem of Flour Company on my bottom. But knowing that my mom and dad were doing the best they could gave me the strength to suck it up and move on, especially when mom said, look, this is where we are now. There's no shame in what you wear as long as it is clean. Your father and me, we put clothes on your back as best we can. You just remember there are other colored people who have a lot more. So it's just a question of, well, maybe one day we'll do better. Maybe one day we'll get there too. It's not impossible, son. It's not impossible. It was enough to drive Sidney Poitier. I mean, she lived and touched his life. He touched, in turn, other lives. And so that grain of wheat falls, and then it produces more and more, including this Armenian priest who is talking today about the continuity of life. And that's how we start off 2022. Here's Susie. And I'll be back in just a couple moments, okay?
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The Next Step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you, all of you, for all the love, the support, the letters, the emails. Thank you very much, and especially for your New Year's wishes. I can't thank you enough for allowing me to come into your homes, come into your earpieces, come in over your car radio systems, wherever you listen. Thank you for taking me along for the ride. I want to just wish you the best. Just the same wishes that you have for me, double, triple for all of you. Health, happiness, and goodness in the new year. I think it's so beautiful because we celebrate the new year with the birth of Jesus Christ. And when I think of the freshness of the Christ child, I used to have a mentor priest, Father Gurken Muradian, who used to be over at Khorvirab, and he was the abbot father of Khorvirab, actually, and I had the good fortune of being in his shadow for a good 15 years. And he used to give a sermon on Christmas Eve about the sweet smell and freshness of a young child. And he says, if you take your nose and you shove it, he used to say, at the chotes, if you shove it inside the neck of a small baby, there is a unique smell. And I've always think about that because now don't do this to a baby you don't know, okay? Do it only to a baby that you do know, that it's legal for you to do. In other words, your kid or your grandkid or somebody that, you know, it's okay to do too. But shove your nose right into that little area right underneath the folds, where the folds of the neck come together. And there is such a beautiful smell of freshness and newness. And yeah, it's a little bit dried spit and milk and sweat in there as well. But it's baby sweat. It's baby milk. Anyway, he used to always talk about that unique smell and talk about the freshness of the Christ child. And that's what I wish for all of you. The freshness that comes with a new baby, with the new birth, and our celebration of the Christ child being born. May that newness touch each and every one of your lives. And may 2022 be filled with opportunities for you to share the love of Christ with others. In other words, in the time of your life, live. So that in that good time there shall be no ugliness or death for yourself or for any life your life touches. On behalf of Susie, our producer, and myself, Father Vosgen, I look forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.